We're in 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 12. We started that last week, so take your Bibles and turn there. And I'll give some introductory remarks and a quick review of last week's study after we read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, divers kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I pray that this study today and what we started on last week, and of course it's really our prayer for every Sunday, but this chapter began with a statement, "I would not have you to be ignorant." And I pray, Father, that we would study and know what's been revealed, what Paul would give us to understand, so that we would not be ignorant on this subject, as we realize there is much ignorance on it. And so I pray that each person would be attentive, that your word will just speak to each heart, and that we would be edified, and that we would know how that then we could minister even to others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I could give a testimony, and probably will at another time, why the subject matter of spiritual gifts, as began to talk about in verse 1 there, now concerning spiritual gifts, I could give a testimony of why that is important to me, because it is important on a personal level of being exposed to different things. And another time I'll give you that. But I don't really need to give you a personal testimony about that, because the Bible itself says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." That ought to be enough for you to realize, I don't need to be ignorant. It's that God would actually put in his Bible, before teaching this matter, for a warning to you not to be ignorant. And then we studied last week that verses 1 through 3, a very important warning. I was just trying to stress it every way I could, that it's your responsibility, not as a Bible teacher, but as someone who's a student of the Bible, even a participant or a listener in Sunday services or other places you might listen to the Bible being taught. You are warned in these verses not to be carried away by a man's teaching who would lead you into false doctrine, and then of course false doctrine would lead to a false practice. That the only way the Corinthians were led into these dumb idols was someone taught them about idols and turned the Gentiles to idolatry, turned them away from God. And Paul introduces the subject, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts, because if you are, some man is going to carry you away and lead you into a false doctrine and a false practice concerning spiritual gifts. And so you're warned right from the beginning, don't let a man carry you away. You can't just follow every preacher, every teacher. You need to go to the Scriptures, and you especially need to do what Paul said in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand." It's here for you to understand so you're not led astray and carried away. Now, we're actually, so that was last week's message. You can still see it's still important to me. In verses 4 through 11 is where we want to pick up today, and where you pick up, where Paul is going to talk about spiritual gifts and their purpose. And so it starts out immediately in verse 4. "Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." When it says there's diversity of gifts, you're going to get a list. You know, it's interesting. You've got 1 Corinthians 12. There's a list that starts out in verses 8 through 11 here of some of those gifts that he's talking about. But it's not all the gifts he's talking about, because when you get over to verse 28 to 31, he lists more gifts. Then if you went to Romans chapter 12, we'll do that. He'll list more gifts. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, he lists another gift. So when it says there are diversities of gifts, the Holy Spirit was in gifting people, and we'll talk more about that when we get down to verse 7, but there were gifts being given, and since we're talking about gifts and diversity of gifts, I thought, well, maybe we should look at a list of these. Now, what I'm not going to do at this time, I'm going to give you a list of spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, and at least that way you'll be familiar with all the different ones that are talked about. We'll not define each one. We did that years ago, where we really did a Bible study about every one of these, but they'll come up as we deal with the different verses. You'll get an understanding of what these are. But it starts in verse 8, just to look at a list of what are these diversity of gifts. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And that's a word of wisdom given by the Spirit of God. So this is not a man who's a wise man. This is a gift given by the Spirit of God that endowed a person with wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. And it's interesting, it didn't just impart knowledge, didn't just impart wisdom. Notice in both cases they're called word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And if it's from the Spirit of God, what would you call that? How about the Word of God? Because the Word of God is not just knowledge, but it's also wisdom. And so it starts out with those two. Verse 9 says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. And when it talks about faith there, remember there's verses that talk about the faith. When you read in your Bible, the faith, you're talking about the Word of God that you and I are to believe. And I believe the category here of faith is not just the ability to believe God's word, but the very word that God would have us to believe. I think that's part of the revelation gifts, but anyhow, there is that gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. So that's the fifth one in that list. To another, prophecy. Did I miss one? No. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, and a little bit of explanation there. A man stands up and begins to speak. We've already been told in verse 3 how to figure out if a person's speaking by the Spirit of God or not, right? Because every prophet who stood up is not speaking by the Spirit of God. So not only did he give a gift of prophecy, he gave a gift of discerning of spirits, where another person stands up and says, well, wait a minute, what brother so-and-so just said is not from the Spirit of God. Or it is by the Spirit of God. So it's just not one man's word on the matter. So there's the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning of spirits. To another, the divers kinds of tongues. All kinds of tongues. That's the nations have been divided up into the world, and tongues are languages. And here's the ability to speak in all the different languages of the nations. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Well, if no one knows what the person's saying, then there's someone there to interpret, because God wants everybody to know what His Word says. So there's a list of 9 gifts that are just given in those verses. If you jump over to verse 28, it says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So in this list, notice it's not just the gifts, but gifted men. And these men have gifts in the sense one is a gift of an apostle, and an apostle, one sent by God with a message. But then there's prophets. Well, he would certainly have the gift of a prophecy, so that one's already been covered. Thirdly, teachers. So there's some who are teachers. And after that, miracles and gifts of healings, help. There's a new one. Governments, diversity of tongues. Well, that one we've already talked about. And then he goes on to say, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So you see how some of them are being used and repeated in there. In fact, in that list, there's something like 5 that are repeated from verses 8 through 11, and there's four more new ones that were added in that, and that would be apostles and helps and government are repeated in that list. Come over to Romans just to make the list. Romans chapter 12. Just so we know when we talk about gifts, what are we talking about here? I'm going to read verse 3 first. Verse 3 says, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now there is that God has given the measure of faith to everyone. That's not how much you believe. That's what you are to believe. Every man has the measure. What measure? You're to know what God said based on what God has revealed, and that is his word. That is the faith. And it's been given to every man. God wants every man to know his word. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given unto us, whether prophecy, well, we've already seen that one, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, there's a new one, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, we've seen teaching already, on teaching, he that exhorteth, there's a gift of exhortation, on exhortation, he that giveth, oh, there's a gift of giving, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so you have those added to that with one repeated there, and so you're really up to, what, 17 gifts now if you were numbering them. But let's look at one more yet. Come over to Ephesians chapter 4. And again, in Ephesians 4, you're going to see that more than the gifts being emphasized is the men that have these gifts being emphasized. Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11, it's when the Lord ascended on high, he gave, and it's for the body of Christ according to verse 12, but verse 11 says, he gave some apostles, we've seen that one, some prophets, we've seen that one, some evangelists, and that's a new one in the list, and some pastors and teachers. Well, we've seen teachers, here's one that's pastors, but I'm thinking, when I look back at that one in Romans, and there was the gift of ministry, I wonder if pastoring and ministering are really just two names to the same gifts. You can decide that in your numbering because you can number them all different ways. But as I go through the list, I consider pastoring, ministering, and therefore the only new one introduced here is evangelism, the gift of the evangelist. And so there's 18 that I have come up just looking at that. Several out of the list are repeated several times. What's interesting, well, You know me with numbers. I come up with 18, the first thing that hits me, 18, that's 3 times 6, isn't it? 3, the number of God. 6, the number of man, God revealing himself to man. But anyhow, the one that's interesting in that is in every one of those passages, there's only one that's been repeated in every one of those lists, prophecy. And so that's interesting because you're going to see that's the whole purpose in gifts. Let's just move on. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we quickly just went through a list when it says in verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's an emphasis there, that diversity, and we can now see the diversity. But the point of making the statement there's diversity, but it's the same Spirit. It's not everybody has a different spirit. It's the same Spirit, and he has several gifts that he has given out to members of the body of Christ at this point in time, but it's all the same Spirit. The emphasis there of the same Spirit, in verses 4, 5, and 6, you're going to see the word same as it's going to go through the Godhead. And then even when you get down to 8, 9, 10, you're going to see the word same again. There's an emphasis here. They're saying there's something that's, there might be differences, but there's something the same about each one. And that is, it's going to be the Spirit of God using those gifts. And so the same. If you look at verse 11, it says, "But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So he not only calls them the same Spirit, here he uses that word self-same Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God, the one Spirit of God, has got several different gifts to the members of the body of Christ, but it's all one Spirit. There's a unity, there's a might be diversity, but there's unity in the fact that the Spirit's given it, and he's given it according to his will. Because the problem at Corinth is these people are self-imposing some of these gifts and using them for selfishness rather than for the purpose that the Holy Spirit gave the gifts. And the Holy Spirit gave the gifts, and it's his will. It's not man's will. They don't self-impose. They're going to give themselves their own gifts and do it for their own selfish reason. God has a unity, an organized purpose in what he is doing. And it's not confusion and chaos like we saw last week that's going on at Corinth. Remember chapter 14, verse 33? "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints." In verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And the reason why it wasn't being done that way, because people weren't using the gifts that the Spirit gave for the reason the Spirit gave them, and some were self-imposed rather than the Holy Spirit gift to them. They were all trying to do the same things. And Paul's rebuking them for it and talking about how there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's a unity and an organized purpose in doing that. Now what Paul gives you in verses 4 through 6 here, an insight into the Godhead. That there is this diversity and yet unity in the whole Godhead, and that each member of the Godhead, God, the order, God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, have different responsibilities within the Godhead. And yet there's a unity in it all. So in verse 4, when it says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so that would be that the Spirit of God is working differently in believers, gifting saints as, according to his will, for the purpose to profit all the saints. That's why he's working in all of them, but it's for the benefit of no selfish person, but for all the saints. We'll see that in a moment. But so that's the self-same Spirit dividing severally as he will. Verse 5 says, "There are differences of administration, but the same Lord." So there are differences of administration, but the same Lord Jesus Christ, who's administering all those administrations, all those differences. And when we talk about those differences, as the Lord, he is the administrator of the affairs that are going on in the world, all things we read in the book of Colossians this past week. The Bible says that all things were created by him and for him. So he is working throughout all time, doing a different administration, different economy, but working for one purpose, and that is his lordship, him being head of heaven and earth. So there are these differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. Administration, you know, if you looked up the word dispensation, you know what the first word is that almost in any dictionary what a dispensation is? Administration. People say, "I don't believe in dispensational truth." Well, then you don't believe that Jesus Christ has diversities of administrations. But the Bible says he does. Now, we in our studies sometimes look at how Jesus Christ had administrated, had delegated an economy, an order for men to follow, and then added to that order or changed that order through time. And when we look at the Bible, we divided the dispensations up into 7 or 8. We realize that when man first was created, that we call that the dispensation of innocence. Adam and Eve, they didn't sin, but they were told not to sin. It'd be a consequence if they did, and they failed. So now there's sin in the world, and there's the dispensation of conscience, where Cain and Abel, We needed to follow what was right, do what's right. And Cain didn't, Abel did. But then there came a time God judged the world, and because man was chaotic, after Noah got off the ark, we call it the administration or the dispensation of human government, where now they're going to keep some order because man's going to have the right to take another man's life if he murders somebody. So they're going to restrict the evil that's in the world, and so he gave those, that administration of human government to Noah when he got off the ark. But then man continued to fail God, so then God cuts off the Gentiles, takes up Abraham, and begins what's usually called the dispensation of promise, the covenants that God made to the nation of Israel to make them a light to the Gentiles. And now here's Jesus Christ not ministering to all mankind, but just to the nation of Israel. And so that he's fulfilling the promises, the covenants made to the nation of Israel. He adds to that covenant the law. And he begins to administrate law at a particular time. But Paul comes along and he says, you're not under the law, you're under grace. In this dispensation we're living in today, God's not dealing with the nation of Israel and he's not dealing with us under the law. He's turned to all mankind in his grace because of the cross of Christ, is offering salvation through the cross of Christ to all mankind today as a free gift. Those who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a payment for their sins, we're given the gift of eternal life and we're placed into the body of Christ, and we have a reign, we have a standing in grace. And we need to learn how to live under the administration of grace. This age is going to end, and Jesus Christ is going to administer judgment to this world. We call it the tribulation. And then when he's all done with that, he's going to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth, and it's going to be the age of his kingdom. So those are the administrations of God. There are different administrations, but everyone the same Lord, Jesus Christ, with a unified purpose to bring the universe unto his authority as Lord. So there's a different administrations, but it's the same Lord. There's a common purpose, a unified purpose in what he's doing. Then the next verse says, there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. The same God working all in all. Now, diversities of operation talks about God working. That's why the last part of that. But the same God which worketh all in all. So the diversities of operation, there's different ways that God has worked in the world, in man, and in time. And certainly, you know, God, you know, there's the people say, oh, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, thinking he's always doing the same thing, when we just got done realizing he's not always doing the same thing. And the other thing, God didn't always work the same way in every age and every man. He worked in different ways in man in different times. And so that's what this is saying, that there are diversities of operation, but the same God worketh all in all. And so God throughout different ages was working in man different ways for one eternal purpose that's called all in all. Hold your place here. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 1. First of all, look at verse 11. It says, in whom, in Christ, also ye have obtained an inheritance, us Gentiles in this age who became believers. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will. God, throughout all ages, is working out a counsel of his will. And what is that will? Well, look at verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet. Everything in heaven and earth is under the feet of Jesus Christ. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If you were here Wednesday, you'd have a better understanding of what that means there. That God is going to glorify, take the glory of his Son and radiate it throughout the heavens and radiate it out through the earth. The heavens through the body of Christ. And the earth through the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ's glory is going to be seen throughout the universe. That is God's eternal purpose. And we have an inheritance in that eternal purpose in our salvation. But So there's different ways that God is working at time, but there's a unified one flow of a purpose in it all. So as you begin to look at these verses, you realize God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have different responsibilities, each working out their purpose in man and in the earth and the heavens in an organized, unified endeavor, unlike the Church of Corinth. Because they weren't doing anything organized for a unified purpose. And so there's like a rebuke in all that statement, but there's a rebuke in the sense that God does all things decently in order, even in the Godhead. So we pick up now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now you need to hang on to something there. You don't have to hold your place in the Bible. I don't need to turn you anywhere right now. But the point is, all of a sudden we've been talking about diversity of gifts in verse 4. And then he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit. He's taken those diversities of gifts and given them another title. He's called them the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is the making known of something. And it's not just the gifts that are there. What's being made known is men don't have this ability. This ability is coming from the Spirit of God. When we talk about spiritual gifts, we are not talking about naturally born, gifted people that have natural abilities. You know, some are smarter, some are faster, some are more athletic, and some are just full of wisdom and all of that kind of thing. But we're not talking about man and his natural ability. We're talking about gifts of the Spirit that are manifest the gift of the Spirit. Manifestly the gift of the Spirit. That people, this is not their natural ability. This is something that God, an ability that God has given them. And so he calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. And when we talk about the manifestation of the Spirit then, we get away from the natural way of doing it all. But it's extraordinary, it's spiritual, and it's visible. It's easy to turn back to 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 15. It's easy to turn back to Romans, because it's just before 1 Corinthians. Go to Romans 15. Now, there's several of these. I'm just going to show you a couple. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 18... Paul's talking about his ministry out among the Gentiles, and he says in verse 18, for I will not dare to speak any of those things which God hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, it'd be real important for you to be catching on that every time we talk about these gifts, you always got the Word of God being talked about. Paul's verifying the fact that he doesn't speak anything but what God wants him to say, and the Gentiles need to be obedient, need to believe what God has to say, and he makes them obedient by word and deed through, that is, Paul's word that comes out of him and Paul's actions that come, and they're through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That Paul not only spoke things, you could see that what he was speaking was the word of God by the signs and the wonders that the Apostle Paul did. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, he tells the Corinthians, he said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. When Paul went in and said, I got a new revelation from God, he's no longer dealing with Israel. If you would have been in Sunday school, Brandon couldn't hardly stop because he got a point of all the way through history of the Bible, from the calling out of Abraham, how important circumcision was, until you come to Paul, and Paul says, that means nothing. And Brandon wanted to keep on teaching because that's radically different. Well, what? You're going to just believe a man who goes against 2,000 years of God's instruction in the Old Testament? Well, you better not. Unless he can verify that he's speaking God's word through mighty signs and wonders. True, he's the apostle of the Gentiles. How do you know that? Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. You know, in Paul's early epistles, Gentiles were given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And when Paul, let me read this, just Just stay where you are. And you can write it down. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read you verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth, crucified among you? Evidently. You know, I would love it if I could see in every one of you that you're saved. And I'm not just talking about, oh, you're starting to do good deeds, that you stop bad habits. There was a way that Paul could see, oh, you guys got saved. I know you did. I could see it. There's evidence. What kind of evidence is he talking? Well, let me continue reading. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of flesh? Are you so hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Those that are ministering the Word of God can demonstrate it by miraculous signs. And when these Galatians got saved, it was evident they got saved. There's something going on that's giving them evidence. Go back with me to one of the verses Brandon was teaching us, to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now, Peter goes to Cornelius, a Gentile. God almost forced him to go. He doesn't know why he's there. But it says in verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. That is, on these Gentiles. They became believers. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, and he's trying to figure out what to do next. How did they know these Gentiles received the word of God? They spake with tongues. There was an evidence that these people got saved and received the Holy Spirit and never even were water baptized. Israel had to repent and be baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Something changed here. But the point is there's an evidence. I'm saying that to you so that when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12 there, and you start reading about in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, these gifts were manifested gifts so that people would know that this, the Spirit of God is in these people and speaking through these people. So the gifts were given and they were manifest gifts. Now, the gifts are listed, as we talked about, in verses 8 through 11, or at least these, the manifest gifts that he's talking about in direct context here are listed in those verses. But notice again verse looking at the verse. It's just right here. I might have to read the verses to find it. No, it's right there in 7. I'm looking past it. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Remember I said the title of our subject here, the context, is the gifts and their purpose. Why was the Spirit giving these gifts to man? Diversity of gifts, the same Spirit, to profit withal. To profit the whole body of Christ. Now, you know that word withal, you know, I wasn't sure when you talk about definitions, because sometimes it's used in the Old Testament, like withal meaning covering the whole thing. And when I look at that, I realize the purpose wasn't just for a selfish person to gain something selfishly, but the purpose of those gifts was to profit withal. So I actually had to go to the Webster 1828 dictionary that we learned about and looked at, seeing exactly what does withal mean, and it means with the rest. So the gifts were given to profit with the rest. Everybody's going to be profited by the gifts that the Holy Spirit is given. It actually means together with. It has to do with a profit that's going to be available to everyone, not You know, some people say, I got this personal gift for self-edification. Holy Spirit never gave a gift for any selfish reason. He gave a gift for everybody's purpose. Now, you begin to understand, how is it he's going to profit everybody when you read further down? Look at verse 8. Now, in these verses that we've already studied, the list, there is going to be 9 gifts that are called manifest gifts. I want you to notice, as we look at each one, they're actually broken down to 3 different categories. And I'll bring this out to you. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and to another faith. And I explained what I think faith is in that verse. Not the ability to believe, but what it is God would have us to believe. What those 3 gifts are, they're revelation gifts. God's word. God's revealing his word. Then, when you go from those gifts, it says, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. Now, those 2 gifts, healing and working miracles, those gifts are called confirmation gifts. Now, I want you to see this. Hold your place. Come to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, in Israel's program, the 12 apostles were going to receive, they received the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and there were signs that followed them. And look at, our purpose here is not to list what God was doing with them, but what the purpose of signs are. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Those signs are called miracles, and healing is among those sign gifts. And why did God give sign gifts? To confirm the word that's being preached. So we start out the list, there's revelation gifts, and then with those revelation gifts are confirmation gifts, sign gifts. The first time the word sign is used in your Bible is Exodus chapter 4. And this is extremely important. Exodus chapter 4. God's calling Moses. Now remember, he's been kicked out of, he actually fled from Egypt for the last 40 years as a fugitive. And now God's going to send him back to Egypt to take Israel, that's slave to the Egyptians, and lead them to the promised land. And so he's out in the desert, and God says, go to Egypt, tell my people I sent you, and bring them out. Well, Moses said to God exactly what I would say to God. Chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I'd do the same thing. So then the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And you remember what he did? The Lord said, take that rod, cast it down, and it became a serpent. He said, grab it by the tail. He grabbed it by the tail and became a rod in his hand again. Verse 5. It says, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He was given that miraculous sign so that they would believe. Well, he says furthermore, and the Lord says, put your hand inside your bosom, pull it out. Leprous. White with leprosy. Put it back in your bosom, pull it out, healed. Healed leprosy. Nobody could heal leprosy, but he healed leprosy. And then he says in verse 8, look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, there's the first time the word sign is used in the Bible, and that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither will they hearken unto thy, voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water shall, that thou take out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. Take water, pour it out, water turns into blood. And the three signs showing that he's of God. Peter wouldn't go to Cornelius till God gave him three signs, and he finally went to Cornelius. Here, the purpose of a sign is to show not only that you're being sent by God, God appeared to you and gave you these words, and you're supposed to follow this man because God sent him to you to follow. No wonder Paul said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. Signs are for that reason. Now, I'm not going to be able to finish my message today, so I might as well stop here a little bit and think about these three signs. A serpent, leprosy, blood. Power over the devil, the power over physical healing, the power that's going to, of judgment that's going to come. People don't believe that message. God's going to judge this world. You look at those three things. How is man ever going to overcome Satan? Leprosy in your Bible is a type of sin that'll destroy, send you to hell. But what could save mankind except some blood that's poured out? You know, over I can't help but think over 1 John chapter 5 and verse 8, after it talks about there's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. There are three that bear witness on the earth, the Word, the water, and the blood. Water. Jesus Christ was born of natural birth of the woman. But then he brings about a new birth through his blood that was shed so that people could be saved from sin. What's going to cure the type that leprosy is? What's going to cure us from sin? The only answer is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was poured out as a judgment, the payment for our sins paid. These are nothing but the blood. But these signs that were given for the purpose of verifying the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the faith, that what God would have us to believe, followed by confirmation gifts. Now go back there and we'll wrap it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're in the middle of verse 10. Well, verse 10 again says, to another the working of miracles, that's that last sign gift. Then there's four more signs. To another, prophecy. Let me explain something to you. Why isn't prophecy a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? You know, prophecy is what's coming out of a person's mouth. You have a testimony of Balaam. Balak tried to pay him to say the wrong things, to curse Israel. Every time he opened his mouth, blessing came out. See, prophecy is not necessarily a man receiving information of knowledge or wisdom in his head. Prophecy is God speaking out of the mouth of that man. And Bible tells us a lot of times those men had no idea what that meant. So it didn't come from their mind. It God spoke right through them. Use their mouth to speak. Keep that in mind, because then there's prophecy, and then there's the discerning of spirits. I explained to you what that is. And then there's diverse kind of tongues. Well, you know, tongues is a form of prophecy. But this time, it's not just God speaking out of the mouth of someone. It's God speaking out of the mouth of someone in the languages of the nations. And then there's that interpretation of tongues. You know what those last four gifts are? Communication gifts. You need to look at this list. The gifts of the Spirit were given to profit everybody. So what are those gifts? Revelation gifts. Confirmation gifts that the Word of God is what's being spoken. And communication gifts so that everyone can get it in their own language. You know what profits every man? The Word of God. The whole thing centers around. What did verses 1 through 3 tell us? Check out whether a man's speaking by the word, the Spirit of God or not. When he says, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are always all about God giving a revelation of truth. This is a new dispensation. When God raised up the Apostle Paul and sent him out, there's a new body of truth for the body of Christ. And he gave gifts to the body of Christ to profit everybody, and all those gifts center around God giving that revelation and confirming that revelation and communicating that revelation so everybody can be profited by the Word of God. Now you're going to learn as we go on, we don't have to have those gifts anymore. I'm holding in my hand the Word of God, the complete Word of God. But those were the purpose of the gifts, and they didn't have a complete Word of God yet. And those gifts were given at that time because the thing that's going to profit a person is God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't need anything else but the Word of God today. But that's what they were being given through these gifts. And that's what, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. It's centered around God giving revelation, revelation that we now have. So we'll stop there. There's a few more things we need to say, but we'll pick them up next week and add them on to next week's message. But don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Don't be led astray by a man. Consider what Paul said, or what does it say there? Wherefore I give you to understand, understand what spiritual gifts are all about. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can, that we do have a complete Bible. And therefore, because we have it, we can know these things. You have given to us to understand by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, writing through Paul, telling us what the doctrine is, and giving us the reproof, the correction, and the instruction in righteousness that we might be perfect. We can be profited by the completion of your Word, and we can be mature people, mature saints, not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Father, help us to keep coming back each week and adding to this information that is just now being revealed in this chapter of what the purpose of the spiritual gifts are, and when they're used, how to properly use them, but that better thing that's coming. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.